Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film dudes watch the 50 best horror movies ever, and then we talk about them like real horror dudes. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and I'm joined by...
Ben Arrington.
How's it going, Ben? You alright?
I'm alright, Luke.
Do you get hay fever?
Are you? Do I get hay fever? No, yeah. I'm hay fever free. Fortunately, I'm such a lucky man. How about you? I'm assuming you do.
I envy the person who can walk past like a freshly mowed garden and not tremble in fear.
Yeah, trembling.
I get it really bad.
Yeah. Shit. Is that why you've got such a bloated face? I'm joking. It's not bloated. It's not bloated at all.
It is bloated, but that is just my face, I'm afraid.
Oh man, I feel bad now. Oh, do you know what? I got hay fever once in my life. This is a sob story for you. You're gonna be like, yeah, all right, come Dude. On then.
Nearly 30 years of hay fever, like the worst. I got it once before.
I did. I went to a festival once, and I was like, I was just destroyed. Like my eyes were just.
That's weird. Well,
I'm telling you, the symptoms of hay fever.
Yeah. I understand what they are. Yeah. That's weird. I wonder where you got them on that one festival.
That's weird, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
Someone cursed you. A very light curse.
Someone cursed me for the weekend, and that was it.
And then I downloaded or something.
Yeah, it was download. Yeah, it was downloaded like 2009, and I've never got it since.
I was there. I remember giving someone my hay fever for the weekend.
I thought so. Yeah, you just did a deal. You struck a deal with somebody and said, pass on the hay fever to whoever is near. And I was strolling past, loving life on a Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, I sneezed. Straight into your face.
Oh yeah, I remember that sneeze.
Yeah. Okay. So, talking about horror movies. This is what we're meant to be doing. We're watching these 50 films that are on the Empire compiled, and they're the best 50 horror films ever. And we've been working our way through them, and we are now at number 35, and we are doing Poltergeist, the 1982 version. Not the remake, which you haven't even seen. Have you seen the remake?
Poltergeist. The remake with like Sam Rockwell and stuff.
Is Sam Rockwell in it?
Yeah.
I might have to watch it just because I find him strangely magnetizing.
I think it's just a standard cut and dry performance for him. You know, nothing special like we're used to.
Pay the bills.
I've never seen it though. Now I saw the trailer and I went nah.
Nah.
No, thank you. Yeah. Take it back.
So, do you want to tell people about this version of the film?
Yeah.
Seeing as neither of us know anything about the new one. Yeah.
I don't know anything about the new one, man. I mean, I'm assuming it's pretty much the same, but Sam Rockwell plays the Poltergeist? Maybe. Yeah.
There'll be some jump scares.
He's a good character actor.
Yeah, he's amazing.
There will be some jump scares. Yeah. Okay, so Poltergeist is a 1982 American supernatural horror film directed by Tobe Hooper. Steven Spielberg wrote and produced, but this is a little factoid, didn't know this. He wrote and produced, but had a clause in his contract to prevent him from directing another film while he made E.T. the Extraterrestrial. That's interesting, isn't it?
That is very interesting.
Very interesting. So set in a California suburb, The plot focuses on a family whose home is invaded by malevolent ghosts that abduct the family's younger daughter.
Nice.
Bloody horrible ghosts!
So this is what Empire have to say. Moving into a family home on an ancient burial ground presents the kind of real estate conundrum even Kirsty and Phil will be hard-pressed to help with. Who's Kirsty and Phil? Is that some sort of TV?
Like, location, 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 is that, presenters, I believe.
Is that those guys? Okay, cool. The problems faced by the Freeling clan, that's the family, and this much mimics is Toby Hooper, Steven Spielberg horror involved supernatural beasties, vortexes in the landing, really vortex in the landing again, floating objects, and some major interdimensional child napping. That's just about every supernatural domestic catastrophe in the handbook, short of finding the Dyson is haunted and the guinea pig is Satan. Despite the restriction of its PG rating, it was initially R-rated but changed on appeal. The result remains a refreshingly scary brew. Are you pronouncing it Tobe Hooper or Toby? I would have thought
just
Toby.
T-O-B-E. Yes, probably is Toby. I read it as Tobe because Toby would have a Y on the end, surely.
Tobe sounds like an insult.
Hey, you stupid Tobe!
Exactly, yeah. Okay, so this got 88% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb. I'm pretty sure every single film has had 7.4. Either 4 or 5 on IMDb. It's like a blanket rating for everything.
It's like Empire. Like, what are the greatest horror films ever? Let's look at the 7.4 rating on IMDb. You don't want to get too far up that ladder.
So, in the Horror Hangout Board of Advisors, which is our little Facebook group full of smart, wicked people, Kev Hurst said, "All I have to say is," and then he showed a picture of the clown about to. He had a sort of predatory glare, and he's about to get on the kid. Tommy Draper says, the remake is shocking in the bad way, I think. So the original has been a fave of mine since I was a young'un. Ed Wood Harvey put like a little picture, like a little factoid picture, and it said Heather O'Rourke, who played, I think her name's Caroline, she's like the creepy blonde girl. She died of a heart attack when she was 12, and she refused to watch TV in hospital because she was scared of it. Like coming to life. Actually, a lot of people died in the related to this film. We'll talk about that in a bit. John Connolly says he loved the original. I read somewhere that the skeletons used on set were real because they were cheaper to buy than the fake ones. No idea if that's just a movie urban legend or not. Anybody else heard that? I did hear that, and apparently it's real. They were real skeletons.
Who's selling human skeletons? Like just out of the back of their van?
For
medical purposes, I'm assuming. But then if like Steven Spielberg and Toby Hooper come along going, hey, got any real skeletons there? Yeah, we've got loads for sale, mate. We've got loads. But we get them free over here. Some of them are still gristly. Lucky.
That is a good point. I could put the gristle back on for you. Because like I know like you hospitals buy cadavers, don't they? Those from morgues and stuff. But that's not like an open market for that, is it? I mean, they're not... Why are they so cheap? Why are they cheaper than rubber like skeletons?
Yeah.
Like, surely there must be some value.
They're more difficult to get hold of, surely, than rubber skeletons. So why are they more expensive?
I know a guy.
This is bizarre.
Yeah. Okay, so what were your initial thoughts of Poltergeist? When was the first time you saw it?
No, I've seen this film bloody loads of times. Yeah, I've seen this quite a lot of times. It's always been a firm favourite of mine. I'm actually in the bedroom from Poltergeist right now.
You won't see that on the audio feed, but on the video feed, he really is. Like that closet. I can really just imagine the puckering butthole in the closet. Sucking him in.
Puckering butthole closet. There we go. That's why I moved into this house. They said, look, it's got a garden. It's got two bedrooms, but there's a puckering butthole closet. If you want to move in. I said, sign me up immediately. Since Will tried to suck you in. Yeah, this is like one of the ultimate paranormal activity films without being a paranormal activity film, obviously. Probably my favorite ghost film. I think it's got to be in it. It's just like it's just amazing. There's so many ridiculous, it's done so well, like from the music, from the pacing, from the performances, from like genuine like actual scary shit happening. And some things that like you look at now and you're like, that's a proper cliche now. But you know that when it was in Poltergeist, it was probably the first time it had been done. And even though you look at it as a cliche, you're like, that's badass. That's still terrifying.
Yeah.
I think the effects hold up as well. I mean, they are pretty ridiculous things happen with like trees and puckering butthole closets.
It's got that effect that they did a lot in the 80s. Like they sort of draw They like illustrate like electric looking stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, the ghost is a very, very 80s looking ghost where he look a bit milky and a bit like we're otherworldly, a little bit like the ghost from the start of Ghostbusters, librarian
yeah.
ghost.
Yeah, bit, Ghostbusters. Bit I was thinking like... that. I was thinking this could exist in the same universe. If like,
yeah, definitely.
So like the ectoplasm as well is that like the 80s ectoplasm is like the slime, like the slime from Ghostbusters 2, you know, the river of slime.
Yes, exactly. It's not like a gory film. It's not like uber violent or anything. So it is pretty much just like all the scares come from like the otherworldly weird stuff that happens.
Yeah.
Obviously, you get some skeletoids in there.
Skeletoids. Yeah. This is like it really has that Spielberg polish on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it feels like a family. It feels like E.T., but like the scary version, which is weird that you said he's doing it at the same time. I didn't realize that.
No, me neither. The family are great. Like that, it's a really like good family dynamic. All the characters are interesting. None of them are like super annoying. And like creepy kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Creepy kid. She don't mean to be creepy, obviously, but yeah, super creepy. I mean, I think that just adds to it, doesn't it? But a lot of stuff that has been taken from this film and has been overdone to like a horrible, horrible point now. But in this film, you watch it and it feels so original and it feels so fresh, even though you've seen certain things that you've seen loads of times.
This is one of those films that when I was watching Stranger Things, I was like, this is like referencing Poltergeist.
Because like the suburban environment, and the sort of Spielberg thing where you're just like, here's just like an average suburban neighborhood, and this could happen to.
Does that not happen anymore? Like, I was telling Kat, like, we don't get films like this anymore where, like, the family sat around a breakfast table and there's, like, you know what I mean? It's like a warm day and they're drinking orange juice and there's waffles and the mum's, like, busy in the kitchen trying to get it all ready. And there's, like, kids with, like, toy race cars outside and people on bikes and stuff. Like, we don't really see that in films much anymore.
No, because it's almost like that's the ideal. We're painting this vision of an ideal life, an ideal suburban life, ideal family life, just to tear it all down again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whereas I think now certain films, especially horror films or these sort of like ghost story films, they don't waste time getting straight toward, not saying that the time would be wasted, but they don't build that world. They kind of just throw you straight in at a deep end. Here's a scary shit. Maybe 10 minutes of build up and then bang. Yeah. Here's all the jump scares, blah, 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 blah. Where I think Poltergeist really takes its time to sort of like dial up, just like take a little bit of time, dial up something freaky. Yeah.
By the end, it's like full on.
Yeah, because by the time the end comes, it almost feels like the ending's already happened.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The ending kind of happens. You have a little bit of a lull and you think, oh, everything's getting back to normal and bang.
Yeah, and then the shit really hits the fan at the end. Yeah, it's really good.
Shit hits the fan.
Yeah. I always thought this was a Steven Spielberg film, and I think because of the music, because of the suburbia that like I've always sort of recognised as very Spielbergian. Reading about how like Toby Hooper directed it, I definitely feel like the whole Poltergeist thing is a metaphor. I think Toby Hooper was like, I'm trying to make a film about like a family drama. And the Poltergeist, the meddling entity, is Spielberg, like just kneeling away the film. Like, you know, when like the hand sort of bursts out of the screen, I feel like that's Spielberg getting involved a bit too much. And then the face explodes through the door. That's Spielberg's face. Like, that's this Spielberg's is my fucking film.
kicking the door into the editing room and going, have you done this yet?
Yeah.
Steve, give it a rest.
So, should we talk about the story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why not? Okay, so the key players in this film, it's basically the Freeling family. Craig T. Nelson plays the dad. Joe Beth Williams plays the mum. Heather O'Rourke is the creepy little kid. Don't worry about Dominique Dunn, who plays the older sister. She's not really that much. And I'm pretty sure they leave her behind. It looks like they leave her behind at one point. Otto Robbins plays the young boy who, for some reason...
Robbie.
Yeah, Robbie, that's right. For some reason, they must hate him because they force him to sleep next to a doll he hates. Like every night, they seem to put it there. He obviously doesn't like it.
And it's like character building. That's all it is. Yeah. You're terrified of this clown doll, are you? Well, sleep right next to it. Oh, I don't want to. I'm terrified. Do it.
Yeah. And especially like after like the whole thing happened, they put the clown doll back at the end of his bed. But poor Robbie. Anyway, and then Zelda Rubinstein plays Tangina Barons, who's like the spiritual medium. And then there's some other people who are like what do you call those people? They're like paranormal detectives, I guess.
Paranormal detectives, the spiritual mediums like sidekicks. Well, there's a couple of spiritual mediums, aren't there, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the film starts with, it's the suburban household at nighttime. The place is in Orange County, California, and it's called Cuesta Verde or something like that. But it's a really, like we were saying, it's an idyllic.
It's like a lovely place, but it's sort of like a new build sort of like suburban area, isn't it? Like where everyone's kind of, there's like idyllic sort of lovely town.
Phase one area. Or something like that. It's quite recent, but like I think the last 5 years.
Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase One, it is.
Exactly.
I like the way in this opening shot, it kind of pans out of a TV, where a TV sort of like shutting down for the night, I guess, in America. It was playing some sort of patriotic music before all the programs ended. And then it cuts to like the, what do you call that, the static. I like how it introduces everybody, having the dog walk around the house looking for food. And it introduces sort of like all 5 members of the family. So you've got the dad sat asleep at the TV, mum asleep in bed, and then the kids asleep in bed. It's a good way of sort of introducing everybody, I think.
Yeah, and then the white noise static from the TV, a creepy little girl gets up, goes downstairs and starts talking to it or something, and then wakes everyone up. But yeah, we don't get static anymore. CRT TVs like have like a sort of built-in creepiness to them that we just don't get. Did you ever see Videodrome? It's the Cronenberg film, well, a TV.
Oh yeah. I've not seen it now. I know what you mean.
Oh man. Yeah. Talk about creepy TVs. That's a good one to watch.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it. There's a bit where like the guy presses hand to the TV and the TV sort of like wraps itself around his hand. It's creepy as hell. Okay. So then it's the morning after, and then we get a proper introduction to the suburbia. We've got like some guy on a bike carrying beer. Like I mentioned, we've got the kids playing with, like race cars and tripping people up. I don't know. It reminds me of like The Burbs. It reminds me of like the opening to E.T. There's so many of these films that start off like this, and it kind of makes you feel like, oh, I wish I lived there. Like it's very nice. I felt pleasant.
I would go back to 1982 if I could live there, because it seems lovely. So we get a good introduction to like everyone's sort of character at this point, don't we? So like the dad is like watching a game of football with his pals, and they're like having a beer. Has a little bit of a ride with the neighbor over the remote control, which was funny. You know, that's funny.
A funny little bit. Just pop a little fuber in there. it's good. It just takes its time, like really nicely, to sort of build up the sort of family dynamic. Got to say as well, the dad is one of the salespeople who sells houses in Cuesta Verde, whatever it's called.
So
he's sold apparently like 40% of the houses, phase 1, phase 2, phase 4. He's sold them all, baby. He's really good. I think the same thing happens again the next night.
Earlier we get the bird dies as well. Little bird dies. The mum, Diane, goes to flush it down the toilet, but Carol Ann sees it, and then they give it a nice little burial, don't they, in a little box.
That's cool.
Which is lovely.
That. Yeah, that's nice sort of microcosm of the entire film. There's an earthquake, there's a storm, a ghostly white hand with a rotoscope sort of effect sort of comes out of the TV, and then there's that like famous line where Carol Ann turns around and says, "They're here."
They're here.
But like super creepy. Like as creepy as you can imagine, really.
Ever so creepy. 10 out of 10 creepy. Creepy kid rating. She's up there, you know, she's up there with the best of creepy kids.
So I mean, in terms of creepy kids, there's really, really her, and I was gonna say the Sixth Sense kid, but he's not that creepy, he's kinda nice.
No, what about the Omen kid?
Yeah. Just a baby in the first one, isn't
That's he? That's on the listener. Little baby, mate. It could still be creepy. Yeah. Creepy little baby. What do you want from me?
And then he grows up to become Sam Neill from Jurassic Park, and then he goes to... Have you seen the third one, by the way? Third Omen film's pretty good.
I think I have. Years ago. Have we got any Omen on this list? Got to. Must have.
We must have at least number one somewhere.
Yeah.
Must have. Okay. The spirits are now in the house or something. You know, it's full on poltergeisty now. There's glasses of milk breaking, furniture moving on its own. It's interesting because they're not like terrified of it. It's not like creepy at first. It's like it still has that family movie feel.
It's almost like fascinated. They're like fascinated by it, aren't they? Yeah. They're fascinated by it. They're a little bit intrigued by it. They're like, what the hell's going on? And Diane at one point sort of explains that it's like something natural, but we're not supposed to understand it. Yeah. So she doesn't see it. So doesn't see it being like a threat at this point. It's kind of like, this whole film could have gone another route, couldn't it? It could have gone down a nice family friendly route where they make friends with these sort of like supernatural entities, and they help them do something.
Could have become Casper, like a suburban Casper. But no, it went the other way. Like, I feel like this film could have been more of a Goosebumps story but it does go quite scary. It does sort of tip that way. I was trying to think, is there any modern films that sort of have this sort of tone, this sort of family friendly horror? And have you seen, the only one I can think of is Krampus, if you ever watched that. And that's not as good as this.
I've not seen that yet, no.
But it's got that same sort of, it feels like a family Christmas film, but it's still quite scary.
I guess you don't really get that anymore, do you? Because people, like, with horror, they kind of, when people make a horror film like this, especially a ghost story now, it's kind of like same old shit, isn't it? Just like, that's it.
So it feels like they've got like friendly neighborhood ghosts sort of thing. But then that night, the tree, which I looked at that tree and I knew.
I knew that tree was bloody evil. Yeah, so there was a bit when some of the chairs are moving where Diane sort of like goes back to the fridge, puts some milk away, comes back and they're all stacked up on the table, like a really quick shot where it like panned away and then panned back, which was quite cool.
Yeah.
And then Carrot, they do kind of, she gets a little bit fascinated by it, doesn't she, Diane, with the chair. She's got like arrows set up and stuff on the kitchen floor where the chairs are like flying up and down. And she even puts Carol Ann in this little space and allows the force to kind of like, it's almost like she knows it's weird, but it's almost like it could be like some sort of weird magnetic force.
Like
somehow.
A natural force, like a natural energy.
Yeah. I don't think at this point anyone thinks ghosts as such, do they?
Yeah.
They're kind of like, there's something weird going on. There's a phenomena. It's possible. It could be supernatural, but it might be something else.
I don't think I would put my kid on it. Even if like it feels like a friendly sort of thing. Maybe that's just to show the audience sort of how trusting she is of this thing right at the start. Pretty much offers up her kid to this thing.
Yeah, maybe that was the wrong thing to do. Maybe that was her downfall.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
So it goes to nighttime, and they're kind of. I like how they show all these sort of potential horrors that could happen throughout the, especially for the boy Robbie, because they've got the clown doll there, they've got the tree outside, and everything looks ominous. everything looks like it's gonna come alive and sort of.
And Robbie's just got a face where he's just like, he's constantly scared of everything, and he's unsure. He's a bit like, oh, don't like the storm, don't like the tree, don't like the clown thing.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Robbie, come on, Carol Ann's chilling out. She's fine. She's younger than you. For God's sake, she gets two new little goldfish as well to replace the bird at this point.
Did they die as well? I can't remember. Or did they just...
Probably.
I don't think we even see them again. Maybe that's in a different clip on the cutting room floor. I don't know.
Yeah.
What did you think to the tree?
The tree was a bit ridiculous. And that was a bit Goosebumps episode. That was
It was almost like...
Of course, everyone's shocked by the tree coming through and grabbing Robbie. Obviously, this is the supernatural forces kind of use the tree coming through and grabbing Robbie as a distraction.
Very clever,
So they get their little hands on Carol Ann. But the way everyone reacts to this tree, which is grabs this kid out of his bed and essentially starts trying to eat him.
Yeah.
I mean, his parents are like scared, but almost not scared enough that a tree has come to life and is trying to eat their son. They're almost like, ah, bloody hell, get down from there. come on.
They're almost like they're angry at the kid for climbing. It's bloody like 12 o'clock and he's up in the tree again.
Yeah, like, it's almost like that.
It's like they're thinking, let's get the kid down and then we probably won't build that tree house after all. I'm not too sure about this tree now. Yeah, but like they should be like losing their like minds.
And yeah. Then a tree gets like sucked up and taken off by like a tornado once they get the boy out of the tree, yeah, which is like, man, it's like, why does this tornado take the tree but not them? They're just led on the floor like, oh, that was close. Tornado just takes it away. But meanwhile, upstairs, Carol Anne, basically the closet door is opened. There's like a bright light coming out of there and there's some sort of like vacuum cleaner thing sucking everything in. So everything from the room is getting sucked in, all the toys and stuff.
It's like it's sucking liberal America into the closet. All the colours getting coloured in that closet.
Sucking as hard as it can as well. It is sucking hard.
It's right into the anus.
Beds are going and obviously eventually they get a little Carol Anne. Yeah. I enjoyed this bit because it was obviously like a little doll going in there, wasn't it? Carol Anne, little toy of... she goes in, but she goes into the closet, and when the parents come upstairs, oh my god, what the hell's happened? The beds are sort of like up against the closet door like that, and they pull everything out. There's a moment obviously where there's a clown doll covered in a blanket, and they think, oh no, is this Carol Anne dead to the world? Pull the blanket off. It's just a clown.
Just a bloody clown. Yeah. That clown. And then just get rid of it, mate. No one likes it.
If that clown is scaring your kids, it's scaring you, it's annoying you that much. Rid of it.
Yeah. Give it to the dog. Let him have a hump.
Did you notice how much Star Wars stuff there was around in this room as well?
Saw the Han Solo toy pistol.
Yeah.
And I think I saw a Star Wars poster.
It was like a C-3PO light switch as well.
Is it?
And Robbie's bedding was like a Star Wars scene. The snowy scene. What's that planet called?
Hoth.
Oh, Hoth. Yeah. Huck off. Huff. Yeah. Doesn't that seem to you, Luke?
That's a good film. So Empire Strikes Back is the best one.
The best one. Should we talk about that now?
Nah.
So obviously, and then it's weird because Carol Anne, it turns out Carol Anne is gone. She's gone to the Never Realm. She's been sucked into another dimension, ghostly dimension, where all the spirits live. And the only way they can communicate with her, it would seem, is through the TV. She's like trapped. It seems like she's trapped in the TV, but it seems like the TV is just picking up the signal of her in the other. And it is quite cool when we first realize this, which is when Robbie sort of, everyone's looking for her in different rooms. Robbie stood in the bedroom, I think, with
he's
the
like
TV on.
He's bleeding and stuff, isn't he? Like, he's got like a nick cut of his head. He's sort of bleeding. He's just been, this tree was trying to eat him. Like, he looks like he's never going to like sleep again.
Do you think Spielberg and kids and trees, Jurassic Park, he chucks old Timmy up in the tree, doesn't he? And then slings him back out again.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Leave these kids alone. Don't climb trees. That is the rule. That is obviously the lesson to be learned.
Probably had a bad experience with a tree when he was growing up.
Yeah. Tried to eat him.
Like,
bloody hell, Jesus.
I'm going to make lots of films about you.
Yeah,
that'll show you.
Make more than one film about you, and then we'll see. Yeah. We'll have to get the paychecks coming in.
So Carol Anne is in the, not on TV, but she's sort of in this other dimension. I think she says she can see the light. Maybe that's a bit later on, actually. But she can sort of talk to the mum, but I don't think she can talk to anyone else. I think that's the idea. But then we cut to like the next day, and maybe it could be a day or two after that. And they've gone to.
I think it might be a few days afterwards.
Yeah. So then they go to some paranormal detective type people. I thought it's kind of weird. They didn't tell anyone. Like, they didn't tell the police. Or, I mean, I don't know what they're supposed to say. But
yeah, it was almost like they were. It was almost like they're so confused by what happened. They were like, "Can we go to the police? Because if we go to the police and go, she got sucked into the closet, and they'd be like, oh,
that's
bloody
a
hell.
Sixth kid today. Yeah,
bloody hell. Something's gone wrong here, isn't it? Yeah. I think they get the blame immediately. So like, we've kind of got to try and find her of our own accord before we alert the authorities.
Yeah, I'd tweet it at least. The daughter's in the closet again.
Tree tried to eat son. Closet ate daughter.
Hashtag
this bloody house.
Hashtag I hate the clown. Yeah.
Hashtag I blame the clown.
Yeah. So who are these parapsychology people we've got? I've got it written down here. Dr. Lesh, Ryan, and Marty. Either Ryan or Marty is like a nerdy white guy with glasses. or the a black guy with like a looks a bit cooler. I don't know which one's which. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Unfortunately, I didn't really follow their names at this point. I kind of just thought these are the guys. Also, was it like they're at some sort of university, weren't they?
Yeah.
Does every university in Hollywood have a ghost hunting like department? Because we've got the Ghostbusters; they were working at university in the first one, and then this lot. You know what I mean? Where can we find our ghost hunters at the university? Obviously, stealing an education.
In England, I'm trying to think where you would go. I'm pretty sure university isn't the place to find it.
Whatever happened, British people are just going to be like, oh God, call the police.
Yeah.
God's sake.
Yeah. So these are pretty much like the most haunted type people. I think they've come to get some proof.
Derek Acora. They call in Scouse, Ghost Hunter, Extraordinaire, Derek Acora.
I would like to see that version. they set up like cameras and stuff in the house and they're like, we need to get some evidence. There's one bit where they're showing around the house and one of the guys, either Marty or Ryan, it doesn't matter, is like, yeah, we've seen some pretty crazy stuff. We saw this one time just a thing, like an apple or something moving across something, and it took 7 hours, and that was creepy as hell. And the guy's like, oh, you think that's a knife? I'll show you a knife. And he opens the door and it's like, it's the kid's bedroom, and there's like stuff flying everywhere. The effects were kind of weird for this. Is it? I don't know if the version I saw just had some sort of added 3D effect type stuff in it, because it looked kind of odd, even for like the rest of the effects in the film. It looked kind of odd. Like some of this, like a lamp. There's like a lamp that sort of the lampshade unscrewed and then screwed back on. But everything looked like kind of like low opacity, so sort of see through stuff. It's weird. I don't know. But
there were a few weird bits in this film. You probably had this, but there's like a famous weird cut in this film as well, isn't there? There's a bit where like
I thought the version I had must have just been some recut and it just was all messed up.
See, I thought that when I watched a version of it years ago, and then I stumbled across the fact.
As the day winds down, don't let allergies disrupt your night. At Aspire Allergy and Sinus, we're here to bring you peace and relief. Our expert team offers personalized allergy testing and advanced treatments, so you can enjoy restful nights free from the struggles of congestion and discomfort. Make the evenings yours again. Visit aspireallergy.com to schedule an appointment and experience a life where every breath is serene. Breathe easy. Sleep better. Aspire Allergy, your pathway to peaceful nights and brighter mornings. Aspireallergy.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
That it's got a bad cut on it. So there's like a cut when the family are talking and it cuts quickly to them talking to a neighbor, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it cuts like mid-sentence. And I thought it was just a weird version I had years ago. But yeah, I stumbled across the information that there is just a bad cut in this film, and it's so never been sorted out.
Yeah. I suppose it's difficult to sort the kind of stuff out when it's like actual film reel. Yeah. They might not have a...
So that's happened and someone's gone, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Just ignore it. Nothing happened.
Yeah, you can't do anything, can you? Like, maybe reshoots, I guess. But you know, obviously, if they were like buying real skeletons because they're cheaper, they didn't have a big budget. They didn't have much leeway with this film. So
no. So they got enough money for real human skeletons, but not enough money to get the cuts right in the editing room. Oh.
Okay, so there's quite a lot here where they're sort of whispering to each other all night. They're trying to get evidence. I think they see some lights moving around. Mm. I kind of lost interest in this bit for a little bit until my favourite scene in the entire film comes up, which I still remember from... I'm sure I saw this as a kid, and it freaked me the hell out, which is when Marty O'Ryan, the white one, the white and nerdy one, goes into the kitchen.
White and nerdy.
to cook himself a steak. Like, it's nighttime, everyone's asleep, and he goes, I'm hungry. And he goes into the kitchen, and he just grabs a steak and a frying pan.
It's not even his house.
I know, yeah. And it's just a big, like, a massive steak.
And he starts eating a chicken leg as well at this point, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Just, I mean, the steak, that's 22 quid or something. That's like an expensive looking steak.
A beast.
Yeah. So, so he goes to cook it. This isn't the bit that sticks with me, but we're on our way there. So the effects are really cool in this bit. So the steak, he looks at it, and it, like, starts to burst out of itself. And it's like a weird sort of meaty sort of, I don't know how to describe it, but it's freaky as fuck.
Just the meat looks like it's all grinding up there, and it just looks a bit disgusting.
Yeah, but then he drops
a chicken leg, and it's covered in maggots as well.
So that's a creepy classic. I've seen that in a few things where they're eating something and they look back and it's got maggots in it. That probably came from this film. So he goes to the bathroom and he looks himself in the mirror. Some of the beef juice gets on his face, and then he goes into the goes into the bathroom. I think so. I'm pretty sure. Maybe I made that a bit up.
That's got to be beef juice on his face. I mean, it could just be a tear.
Then
beef
he starts like washing his face, but then his face starts peeling away. He sort of starts digging and ripping like gobs of his face away.
I just realized we said this film isn't very gory, but it isn't very gory apart from this one brutal, horrible face getting ripped off scene, which seems like someone's just gone, I'll do a bit of practical effects, and I've learned how to do this. Oh yeah, but we don't really want any gore in this film. He's gone, yeah, but I can make this happen. And they go,
did it anyway when they weren't looking. And then the editor was like, I don't have enough money to edit this properly, so I'm just going to use that scene. But it's full on, like, the family. This isn't Casper, this ain't. Because, like, this bit is, like, a full-on horror movie. This is, like, Hellraiser, sort of. Although it's got the claymation. It reminds you of, like, the claymation from Evil Dead. That sort of putty Play-Doh effect.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
So he goes away.
Because he obviously realizes that it was just obviously the spirits toying with him, so then suddenly he's like, oh, his face is back to normal, and he realizes he's been done up like a kipper, hasn't he?
He's been poltergeisted.
You've got poltergeisted. I thought I ripped my whole face off. You got poltergeisted. I ate my own legs. You got poltergeisted.
I killed my whole family. That just literally happened, dude.
Sorry, man. I've been poltergeisted. You can't get out of it now, mate. No. Sorry. You did that,
yeah. So what happens? So I think they realize it's pretty dangerous, so they send the kids off, and the dog goes away. The guy who ripped his face off, he says, I'm not coming back.
Oh, do we not see the ghost come down the stairs at this point first? Not long after this, we see like a ghostly apparition type weird sort of like floaty woman with loads of orbs around. She kind of like comes down the stairs and everyone's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a bit freaky. That's we don't really know the point of that, what the ghost was sort of trying to do at this point. We were just scared, get everyone shitless. But yeah, it's after that basically sends everyone away. So like, come on then.
Yeah.
Get out of here. These ghosts are clearly horrible.
And then they return. Sorry, Dr. Lesh returns with Tangina Barons, who is a Derek Okora of the team. It's funny. Like, I don't understand why. They've kind of gone, okay, we need a medium. We can't have like a normal person as the spiritual kooky one. We have to get like a quirky, elfish sort of woman. She does. Yeah. She is really cool. She's very like. It's a strong character. But for just once, I'd just like to see a normal spiritual medium. Like, someone who just looks like a normal guy.
Justice for normal spiritual mediums. Yeah. Not getting represented well enough in Hollywood.
Yeah. Again, I feel like this character trope, in a sense, having a medium sort of character come in to sort of save you from the ghosts is, again, it's like in the Insidious films. They have that woman there. I feel like it's been used in a few things.
Yeah, I'd like to see a proper ghost hunter who turns up with like a net and and like a stun gun, and a stun gun, and just something a bit a little bit mental.
Yeah,
But I guess they make like especially in this film they make her the character obviously looks a little bit out of the ordinary to give her that sort of like otherworldly. She's one with the spirits. She's a bit strange. She yeah. seems lovely, though. I mean, she does seem lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
And she sort of goes in and sort of has a look about, doesn't she?
Has a sniff.
Have a little sniff about.
She says, so I think the idea is that she says, look, guys, there's a load of ghosts everywhere. Your daughter is alive and well. Her life force is strong. But there's a beast, like some sort of demonic entity that's... I don't know if we know what it wants. I think it just wants to keep the kid or something.
It just wants her, doesn't it? So, I mean, it represents a light and it's trying to get Carol Ann sort of go towards
it. I was really confused about the light. So, in one scene, they're saying, stay away from the light. The next thing, go to the light. And then someone else is saying, don't go to the light. I don't understand what...
It was a bit confusing. I think there may be a few... There might have been a few lights. The demon was like one light. I think there was another light, which was like, if you go towards that light, you die.
Yeah, that's like passing on sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think there was another light, which at one point was the exit. It was like the way out. Yeah. So it's a bit confusing. If you end up in this other dimension, there's like, oh, there are three lights. One to kill you, one you will live. I'd be like, I'll just stay where I'm at. I'll stay put.
In the dark.
Jesus, in the dark, crying.
I can talk to people through this TV, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm all good. Yeah. If I ever want to see my family again, I'll just go, switch the telly on. That's but then when CRT TVs are gone, they'll never be able to speak to me again.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know.
I'm sure you can pick up whatever frequencies. So like radio or
radio,
Skype. They'll be able to Skype you in the afterlife, I think. Okay, so what happens now? So this bit confused me as well. So the woman, Tangina, is that her name? Orangina?
Tangina.
Yeah, so she... she says, she says, here's what we're going to do. Ryan or Marty, the black one, you write some numbers on the tennis balls. This bit did confuse me because they were like, so the entrance to this other world is in the closet and then there's an exit. And she has like this whole plan of how she's sort of going to get the kid out with some rope and like a fishing sort of plan or something. And then she says, I'll do it. The mother shouldn't do it. I'll do it because you've never done it before. And then the mother says, neither of you. And I'm like, well, if she hasn't done it, how does she know exactly? She's like, she's got like the WikiHow article on how to do this. Like, she knows,
she's like,
get two tennis balls, write the numbers.
She's just like, she's like a cowboy builder. She's just like doing a lot of guesswork.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, how much aggregate do you need for this job? Oh, 2 tons.
Yeah.
She ain't got a clue. She's just... Basically, when she writes her final invoice out at the end, it's going to be a load of guesswork. She'll be like, look at all this stuff I did. Here's my final invoice.
Yeah.
You owe me 200 grand. And I'll be like, oh, bloody hell.
Sniffed the spirits out of that bit there. Did a sniffstimate, which is...
She was there for about 45 minutes, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yes. So then she works out a way of getting into the portal. So she throws some tennis balls through the portal in the closet, and then they come out from the ceiling, like in the living room. So that's the...
Covered that's the in pink slime.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that the exit to the portal's there. Imagine the exit to the portal was just like down the road. They'd never know.
Yeah. I still don't understand how they know it was there. Is it just like she's a spiritual medium, so she knows it, so you can see it or something?
I think they work out it's there because at one point loads of jewellery falls out the ceiling, doesn't it? And they're sort of working out that some of the jewellery's like really old and some of the jewellery's like really new, and it's almost like a wormhole thing, I guess, where loads of stuff gets trapped. You know, I mean, it is confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been in a wormhole or, you know, sort of like paranormal, supernatural portal.
I've only been in two, and I don't remember knowing where the exit is. What goes on? So, yeah, so she has a plan. She's like, okay, Mum, I'm going to tie this rope around you. You go in. Dad, you tell you...
Hold on to it.
Hold on to the rope. There's one bit as well where she's saying, tell your kid off. And he's like, tell her that you're going to spank her. I didn't understand why he does that.
He's trying to scare her into going to a certain place, I think. So like she's like scared. She doesn't want to go towards
the light.
Towards anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously they're trying to get her to come there. So she's like, which parent is she more likely to listen to when telling off? Yeah. So he starts going, get yourself to the fucking line or I'll give you a knuckle sandwich. And she goes, oh, all right.
He's like, I don't spank my kid. And then as soon as he gets to like the witherer to do it, like he just gets belt out and he's like, fucking come on. Like he knows how to scare his kid.
I never spank my kids, but I do give them a smack in the jaw, uppercuts.
Yeah. He's a pro at he's spanking his kid. He just didn't want to light it on. Like he knows. Okay. So
they save
her. Yeah. So they save her. So the mum goes in. The dad pulls on the rope too fast. Steven Spielberg's face pops out of the closet with like the big the big goony face.
His face pops out and goes, "I'm gonna make Tintin, the adventure of Tintin in the future." And they go, "No!"
Yeah. terrifying moment there, and Steven Spielberg reveals all the films he's planning to make.
Yeah,
too many. And then, and I won't care about half of them. War Horse, it looks good. I'm just never going to watch it. And then he goes in. What was the other film? He's made a few films recently that look
bridge
good.
Bridge of Spies.
Yeah.
Are there spies on a bridge?
Yeah.
I don't know. The British guy won the Best Supporting Actor in it. I still haven't seen it. Go away, Steve.
Man, that guy's made so many films recently. I've just not bothered to. Like, they're not just catchy, you know. Like, it used to be E.T., Aliens, and Poltergeist. Catchy. And so now it's like, I'm going to make a film about war or a horse.
War and or horse.
War horse, yeah. That's the how music. It was two favorite things. And he was like, I like war. I like horses. Get ready, guys.
Get ready.
Have you ever watched the Peter Serafinowicz show?
I've seen some of it, yeah.
Do you like elephants? Do you like trains? Then you'll love new Elephants and Trains magazine. Okay.
That sounds good. I do like elephants and trains.
Yeah. Okay, so what happens? So they save the girl. They basically come out of the ceiling, covered in pink slime. There's a very sort of motherhood birth sort of thing going on here. Yeah. You put her in a bath.
Put them in a bath because, you know, getting in a bath cures everything.
It's the recommended procedure for people who've just come out of the...
Have you got scabies? Get in a bath. You'll be all right. Have you got rot anywhere? Get in a bath.
You just reminded me of... We were going to have some films on this podcast which were like honorable mentions. There's a film called Jacob's Ladder. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah,
there's a bath scene in that, and I was like, "Wow, we need to put that on the honorable mentions list." That was terrifying. I thought.
Who directed Jacob's Ladder? Was that Darren Aronofsky? No, I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of Pie. Jacob's Ladder is with what's his name in it?
Tim Rollins.
Tim Robbins. Tim Robbins.
Okay.
Timothy.
So at this point, you kind of get the idea that the film is maybe done.
It feels like a natural ending to the film, doesn't it? It feels like the art, it's gone through the art, we've gone through all the crazy shit. The house is so called clean, according to the young lady, the medium, what's her name again? Tajine.
Tajine.
Moroccan lamb Tajine says, "Oh, the house is clean now." I hope they didn't pay the invoice at this point when she said, "The house is clean, here's your invoice." And they go, "Oh, here's the money." Because, my God, was she wrong? She's
God, yeah. Like, at this point, I was thinking, so the guy, they're going to have to move out of the house. I think so the next year, they do reveal they're moving out of the house. But at this time, I'm thinking, you know, he's still a pretty good property. He'll probably make his money back in some sense. But then in the next sort of this final little act here, they're not getting any money back out of that thing.
No.
The ship hits the fan. So he goes to basically quit his job. This is the next evening. The woman, her hair's gone all like Rogue from the X-Men. It's got the two grey streaks, so she's gonna have a
she's seen some shit, man.
She's gonna dye her hair. Although her hair's gone grey, which you normally associate with people who've like been through terrifying things, she seems quite normal. She's just gonna have a relaxing bath. She's gonna be all over it soon. The kids are back in bed. Clown toys back on the edge of the bed.
Yeah,
all seems normal-ish. Until the clown gets its rape on, or at least it seems very rapey. Like the clown.
It seems very.
The boy is like trying to look under his bed. The clown like pops up behind him, sort of a jump scare. Something, I think it's supposed to be his arm, but something prehensile wraps around his neck anyway, drags him under the bed. And then I saw some white fluffy stuff popping out somewhere. I'm not too sure what it was.
In the next room, Diane's like being attacked by some unknown force, and she's going flying up the wall. She's like being, she's all over the place. You know what I mean? It's a, it's a right load of bother, isn't it?
And then the anus appears. I don't know how I can describe it. It's like the portal now has taken on a physical anus-like quality, full on.
Yeah, and like anus, I like how you say an anus-like quality. I mean, that is quality anus. I mean, you can't, there's no arguing about it. That's a quality anus.
It's full on, like, relaxed.
I mean, yeah, it's relaxed. Relaxed anus,
yeah. So, anyway, so the wife, the mum, Joanne, I think her name is, I can't remember now. Anyway, she tries to get into the kids' bedroom. Like another beastie appears and throws her. So she goes outside, slips into the swimming pool that's not been built yet. And then we get like a Drag Me to Hell sort of moment with the skeletons all rising to the top.
Yeah, so here's where it's confirmed basically that their house and their neighborhood was built on like a burial ground of some sorts. So like the dude who Steve, is it Steve?
The dad.
The dad. The dude who Steve works for has obviously moved the headstones and everything from the burial site, but not removed the bodies. So that's obviously part of what the curse is and part of what the poltergeist force is. But all these bodies start popping up out there, like proper thriller video style.
Yeah, yeah. So how did I save the kid? How did she open the door?
she's trying to get out, and she eventually does sort of like get out with all the bodies, doesn't she? And then she goes out to rescue the kids who are sort of like almost gonna get dragged into the portal again, which does look like an anus now, but with like a little worm coming out. So like the anus has got worms and little worms coming out, trying to get the kids finally. She manages to save them. And then Steve sort of like comes home and Dana gets home as well. That's the other kid. And they're all sort of like crazy, what the hell's going on? And then they all sort of escape, and then a house sort of just crumbles into like a car crusher. Like scenario where the house just goes.
I saw it as a nervous anus. Okay. So it squints up like I saw a lot of anuses in this film, and one was relaxed and one was like, oh no, like it was kind of inwardly collapsing on itself.
If we need to sum up this review in merely one sentence, it's Luke saying, I saw a couple of anuses in this film. One was relaxed and one was like, oh no. I mean, put that on his headstone. Come on.
I like that. I like that as a quote. Okay, so by the way, this whole end thing is really kind of amazing. Like the whole coffins and stuff are like bursting out of the ground. It's full on crazy town. And then they sort of get in the car. Here's one thing. So they reverse into Dana's boyfriend's car. She gets out. And then I just saw them drive off. I never saw her get into the car, which makes me think they don't like her.
Yeah. They're just like, Dana, just stay with friends. Stay with a boyfriend or something. And as soon as she comes in, it goes, she's home again.
Yeah.
Everybody like, get in the car.
Let's go.
This bit where Steve was trying to get the car started as well. Jesus Christ. I would have been like, come on, Steve, mate.
Can't
find the keys, can't get a key in. And like that, Diane's screaming at him. Even Caroline, who's like 4 years old, is going, for fuck's sake, Steve, you're a useless prick.
Who's going to get a spanking now, Steve?
Who's going to get a belt now, Steve, eh?
And then they go away. And then we get a nice little scene here. So the house implodes. All the neighbours are looking on like... Well, that's strange.
Yeah. Steve's boss, who's like the developer.
How odd.
Is looking at it like, oh no.
Yeah.
The insurance company aren't going to be happy.
And then they go to like a motel. And they go inside and we get a nice little closing scene. All the family goes inside there. And a nice little shot of the dad pushing the TV out of the motel room. And then it ends. But it was quite a nice ending. But it was really good.
Yeah, it was a good ending.
This is a
fucking TV act.
Just talking about this now, I kind of realize I do really like this film. Like I've only seen it a couple of times in the past, and it's a classic. It really is.
It is a classic. It's just got such a proper 80s Spielberg vibe, but it is genuinely terrifying as well.
And it's
like the king of the sort of ghost story films or the paranormal films. Yeah. Unless you kind of call The Shining a ghost story as well, which I guess you do.
Yeah, so Shining will come up again.
So I think those are the jewels in the crown of the sort of like the horror. If you look at horror as a genre, and then you look at ghost films and paranormal films, it's those two.
I mean,
paranormal. Any modern stuff kind of just takes a lot of these ideas and waters them right down and just goes, hey, here's this shit.
Yeah. So what was the... I didn't say any jump scares. I don't really think that was a thing here. Apart from the rapey clown. But the shit your pants moments for you. Were there any?
Probably ripping your face. Yeah. The guy rips his face off looking in the mirror. Steven Spielberg's head coming out of the... That was pretty freaky. Oh, I don't know if we did... There is another sort of visual with like a weird sort of like candy floss elongated arms and legs creature that sort of kind of comes out at one point as well, doesn't it?
That's put on from Ghostbusters, isn't it? That cool.
Yeah. It's proper Ghostbusters. I think the shit your pants moments were just all of the... I mean, I think it was so creepy the way Caroline gets like sucked into another dimension and ends up in the TV. I mean, like that is proper... That is creepy.
It's a cool idea. And
that is really creepy.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think... That's such a good premise. That's just such a good way to open the film with her talking to the white static. Did you ever see? So a little bit of a accompanied viewing for those people who want to watch more TV static stuff. Did you ever watch the it's called now? It's a TV show. It's really recent. I'll have to chase it up. And it was based on a creepypasta. And the idea was that this guy went back to this town he grew up in, and this TV show has been part of like a puppet show that all the kids in the town used to talk about. And then they find out that whenever they used to be watching this TV show, the mum tells them, no, you were actually just watching static on the TV. And like all the kids have been talking about this TV show to each other. And it's just, I think it's based on like a creepypasta. So I don't know how, well, it won't be true, obviously, because it's all nonsense. But it's super, super creepy idea. And the TV show is really good. And they're going to be doing more. It's like a 6-episode TV show. And they're going to be doing lots of these like creepypastas, famous creepypastas told in this way. I need to find out what it is. I'll find out next week.
It sounds awesome. It sounds terrifying.
Really good. And it also had one of the most terrifying scenes I've seen on TV and in film in the past couple of years. They just really haunt. Like, I found it quite hard to watch.
Was it an anus?
No, I've seen many anuses now. I can see many ani, and don't mind the look of him anymore.
Not one has scared you in the, no. Not recently anyway.
Not recently. No. No, I don't. Okay. So some trivia. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the first one, poltergeist is a German word for pool guy, as in pool cleaner. Example, the poltergeist is coming at 12 today. That damn poltergeist is leering at my door today.
False, maybe. I don't know. Is it false?
I'm sure it's German for something. I don't know what it is. We should look into that. Okay. Number two, they actually had an exorcism performed on the set of the sequel because they thought it was haunted.
True.
Apparently so. It's true. Apparently they got someone in. People were scared. Lots of deaths related to this film. Okay, number three, Poltergeist was released in June 1982, and in November of that year, 22-year-old Dominic Dunn, who played Dana, was murdered. Dunn was brutally strangled in her own driveway by her abusive ex-boyfriend and was removed from life support 5 days later. True or false?
Gotta be true.
No one's made that up. Like,
she was strangled by her on-screen dad, who seemed to hate her for some reason. Sorry, we're laughing at someone's death there.
I know, yeah. Well, a lot of these trivia things, I was like looking through some cool ideas, and it's just people dying. Like, there's so many like related people who related to this film who died. Cursed. But so they did think this film was cursed, and they think it's because of the skeletons. But then again, on the article when it says that all these people who died, some of them died like 20 years later, completely unrelated. It's like, ooh, this guy died as well. Well, we're all going to die.
This guy died from natural causes 25 years later. Coincidence? Creepy, eh? This guy was hit by a car in 2014. Creepy, eh?
Okay, number four. Steven Spielberg made it explicit in his contract that if he wouldn't be directing the film, he would still be contractually have the option to urinate on every location, actor, and director before and after every take.
Oh, that's a lot of urinating.
The option. Like, he wasn't obliged. He just had the option.
I'm gonna say false because I reckon he would have just shit instead.
So it's directed Toby Hooper. I don't know what else that guy's done, and I feel like
is that true or false or not, Luke? You didn't announce whether it was true or false.
No, leave it open.
We'll leave it open to interpretation. We're like all great art.
Okay, it was false, by the way. Okay, so Craig T. Nelson, who is the dad in the film, this isn't trivia, he voiced a main character in a Pixar film. Do you know which one it was?
A main character?
Yeah, what, like the main character in a Pixar film?
Dude from Up. I don't know.
No, Mr. Incredible from the...
Oh!
From the 2000 and summit film.
2000. Are we getting a sequel to that?
We are, yeah. Yeah.
500 years later, Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, so well done. I think you got all of those right.
I definitely did.
Yeah. You're back on it. You're back to your
back glory. In the game.
Back in the game. Okay, so how are you going to rate this film? Are you going to rate the film? Hello?
Sorry, I lost you then for a second. Oh, right. I lost you for a second. I was ignoring.
I thought you were like...
I was waiting for a second for you to return to me because you vanished into the Never Realm.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd have to come after you and cover you in ectoplasm again.
That was just an incredibly dramatic pause.
I'm going to go for a big fat A for Poltergeist.
A plus or minus or just a standard?
Just a standard, mate. I don't need... Where I'm going, I don't need pluses or minuses.
Okay.
Do you always do a minus or a plus with it? Or not?
I think I do, just because I like to have that option. I don't think there's been many when I've just gone like the standard.
Okay.
Cookie cutter.
A minus.
I'd say an A minus as well, because it sounds a little bit like anus, which I think is prevalent. Got
anus
in this
on, anus on the brain today, I think, Luke. Yes. Yes.
Last time it was my cat pooing. Today it's anuses.
I think you just let your true self come out in these podcasts, you know? I mean, you just...
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to quickly Google that TV show because I'll forget if I don't do it right now. But in before that's all over, let me just do the outro. This show is brought to you by the Story Studio, Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovach Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. Also, thanks to the guys in the Horror Hangout group on Facebook. Go search for it. It's really good. Thanks to my co-host, Ben. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Luke.
So, Channel Zero, it's called, and it's really good.
All right.
Channel Zero,
What was that on? Was that on Netflix
or
something?
Sky or something. Sci-fi. It's a sci-fi TV show.
All right, okay.
It's really good.
Okay. Channel Zero.
Channel Zero, okay. Yeah.
Is it a one-off or a few episodes?
Six episodes. And I think the idea is they're going to do lots of these creepypastas. They're going to give quite small budgets to younger horror filmmakers to make these things. So it's kind of like a anthology, but told in six parts per thing. And it's really good.
That's cool.
Yeah. Next week, we are talking about probably one of the scary, like genuinely scary films on the list, Wreck. Which I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. I haven't seen that in a long time as well, so it'll be good to go back and watch it again.
Yeah. Cool, man. All right. Say goodbye to the lovely listeners.
Goodbye, lovely listeners.
Bye.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.